This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12.
So, Macca, we've got Tom Simonson on next. Tom Simonson is the head of the Victorian Healthcare Association.
So that's an industry body, Tess, or is it
It's an industry body. It's a peak organisation.
A peak organisation.
Well, we can ask Tom.
I like a peak.
We can ask that. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Tess. Good morning, Macca.
Great to have you on the airwaves this morning. So, Tom, describe to us and describe to our listeners this morning who the Victorian Healthcare Association is.
Well, we're the industry association for the public hospitals and the community health services across Victoria. So we, I suppose, represent those organisations to government and to others and help bring together one voice, because there's a lot of organisations and a lot of viewpoints across our sector. It's got 120 or so organisations in it, so it's important that you can bring that together to one voice, because that's what government often wants to hear, and it means it can have more power. And essentially, we advocate for better health outcomes for the community.
So it's fair to use the word peak organisation?
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
You can call us whatever you like, Tess.
There you go. Macca and I were having this debate over the break, and I thought it was always best to go directly to the to the voice itself.
Go to the boss of the peak.
So, Tom, we wanted to have a chat with you about two things this morning. Your reflections on the Victorian Mental Health Royal Commission, and we also wanted to just get a quick update from you, from your perspective of what's happening with the vaccination program, the COVID-19 vaccination program here in Victoria. But let's start off with the Royal Commission. What are your general views and reflections on the report and the recommendations?
Well, I think it's fair to say that it is, everyone's using this very hyper kind of language of once in a generation and incredible breadth of this report, and they're all true. It's not an exaggeration. It's an incredible report. It covers a huge amount of territory. It's about 3,000 pages long, by the way. And it's the first time that there's ever been, as far as I know, a proper blueprint laid out for the redesign of our mental health system, which we know, whilst lots of people work incredibly hard in that system every day and do incredible work, it still fails way too many people. We lose more people, unfortunately, to suicide in Victoria than to road, car crashes and road safety, which is just a horrifying figure. So this is the first time we've got a report that has a chance of moving towards a solution to that. It's not just tweaking here and there and let's fix the acute bit but leave the community bit or whatever it is. It's let's fix the whole thing. And that brings with it some very kind of intimidating challenges for us in the system. How do we do that? How do we do it as quickly as the report says that we should?
Well, I was going to say, if I can really interrupt, Tom, that actually at this stage it's basically just words on paper, really, isn't it? I mean, we haven't seen anything implemented yet. There's been a couple of bits and pieces, but as a whole, we're still waiting to see how this is going to play itself out, aren't we?
Yeah, well, and for me, it's about the look and feel. So you can read through the recommendations and say, yeah, that sounds good. But until you actually see it implemented, until the people in our system have their hands on the new ways of working, until people who need support from the mental health system walk into whatever the particular service is and feel like they're not being judged or they're not afraid, or that if they're an Aboriginal person, that this service understands the importance of their connection to land in their recovery, then we won't know whether it's been successful, and it won't be more than words on a page. But that said, the fact that these words on a page not only have the support of a large part of the system, but they also have been accepted by government unconditionally, however much they cost. I mean, that's actually, that's quite unusual for a government to say we accept every recommendation and we'll do whatever it takes to make them happen.
That is extraordinary. That is absolutely extraordinary. I agree with you. So, Tom, because we are an LGBTIQ plus radio station, what does the report say for our communities? Do you have a sense of that? Have you been able to?
Yeah. So it's. I was slightly surprised there wasn't more discussion of the specific and kind of viewpoint of the LGBTIQ plus community, because there was lots of evidence given about the way our community experiences mental illness, but also experiences the system. And so out of those 65 recommendations, it's slightly disappointing that we get one sub-recommendation, which is recurrent funding for Switchboard and its Rainbow Doors program. I mean, not that that's not a good thing, it is, but there weren't... That was about it in terms of concrete.
Tom,
every,
that's it?
Yeah, well, that's... But the silver lining here is, in almost every recommendation that talks about how services will change, they give an example in the report of how this should be experienced by our community. Mm. So it's... I think what they're trying to do, and don't get me
they're
wrong...
Embedding it, Macca, they're embedding it, Macca. They're embedding us. That's what they're doing. They're embedding
our community. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, I think that's the right approach.
Well, I'll be watching.
Yeah. If it works, it is absolutely the right approach. There should be no wrong door. You should be able to go anywhere. But the proof will be in the eating.
Now, there's something else. I mean, look, it's a huge report, Tom, and you know, your organisation, your sector, is going to be tasked with implementing a lot of this, you know, the resources, I hope and I expect, will be available. It's going to be a big challenge, and let's see how this rolls out. Another big challenge that is just as immediate but is actually happening now is vaccinations. And,
yes,
you know, the federal government has said everyone who wants to be vaccinated will be done so by October. So...
Will that happen?
Will that happen? And what role does your sector play in this? We know that the federal government, you know, in the aged care sector, got off to a bit of a false start. But the community health sector and public hospitals and you know, public health clinics are going to play a really, really big role in this, aren't they?
Yeah, well, at the moment, we're the only people vaccinating anybody.
Yes,
so right at the moment, you've got, I think we're up to about 12,000 people vaccinated in Victoria since the program started last Monday. This is all Pfizer vaccine, by the way, so it's delivered through hospitals because it has to be stored at minus 70 degrees, which is very complicated and difficult. But and we're also only vaccinating what they call stage 1A at the moment, which is people who work in hotel quarantine, hospital workers who might come into contact with COVID-infected patients, aged care. And I think in Victoria, in total, there will be about 80,000 people, and we think that will be done in under 2 months. So that's a pretty good going. But then you get into stage 1B, which is AstraZeneca. We've already seen this awful phrase of vaccine nationalism starting to rear its head, and you know, Italy saying we're not letting you have the doses. So the fact that we're going to be able to make the majority of our vaccine here in Australia through CSL, it puts us in a very strong position. But it will entirely depend not just on whether we can get the doses made, but whether we can get them circulated across the country. And then the big challenge is that bit you said about people who want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
We have got to keep reinforcing how important it is that as many people as possible get vaccinated, because there are some that won't be able to. And we need to get vaccinated to defend them, but also... We need to get vaccinated so we can keep living our lives like we used to.
To defend us, because, you know, you can quarantine a virus, but you can't quarantine stupidity.
So, you love that saying, Macca.
Well, it's not me, actually. It was a senior police officer that said that.
Yes, it was too.
Yeah.
I remember him saying it.
Yes. It's also when he made that.
Tom, we're out of time, unfortunately.
We're
going to have to move on.
We're getting the wind up. It's all Sally Capp's fault.
Well, she is the Lord Mayor.
That's right.
She certainly is. Tom, thank you for your time again. We look forward to having many more conversations with you as this vaccination program rolls out.
As it rolls out. Thanks so much, Tom.
Enjoy your Saturday.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.